Hi, this is Jackie Rom, and welcome to my podcast, The Life of a Crime Novelist. So today I'm coming from the Caribbean island of Saint Martin, and I thought I would tell you all about how I ended up on this island and how I became a crime novelist and what I do when I'm here writing. So let's go back to about 15 years ago when I decided I wanted to have a house abroad and I wanted a retreat, really. And I'd been on a cruise many times and I'd been to this wonderful island called Saint Martin, which is half Dutch and half French. And I'd fallen in love with the Dutch side. I'd only ever been here for a few hours on a cruise boat, but I knew that there's something about this island that I loved. And so I spent the next 2 years deciding kind of what to do. And eventually I bought this one bedroom condo on the Dutch side of the island. And it became a rental. So I used to come out. Well, for the first 7 years, I used to have full-time renters here, and then I turned it to holiday rentals. So 13 years ago now, I decided to make writing more of a hobby, not a hobby, more of a profession. And I decided to come out for a month and write my first book. And I decided, I've been to so many courses on writing, and I remember someone saying to me, a tutor, always write about what you know. Well, I've worked in the business of entertainment for over 30 years. And so first thing I did was create my character, and I decided to write children's books because I'm a drama teacher and I've spent all my life with kids, and they were my audience, and I kind of had a ready-made audience as a drama teacher. So I invented a little girl who was 11 years old and her name was Star, and she had a backstage mum who I nicknamed the Sergeant Major. And that's how it all started. And I came here for a month and I wrote my first book. Then, you know, life gets in the way. I did manage to write a whole series, 5 books. I then wrote 5 books for babies and then 4 drama books for drama teachers. So once that was all over, I decided I wanted to do something different and I wanted to write crime. The reason I chose crime was really, really simple. I used to love CSI and Law and Order. And then I thought to myself, I could do this. It's really funny because I've never limited myself. I always think, yeah, I can do it. And so I kind of sat down, started kind of thinking about my character. Again, still sticking to what I know. I trained as a makeup artist and I've been a drama teacher. And I've been working on film, location, TV, all of that for many, many, many years. So my leading lady, she's in her 50s. Her name is Sandra Bernstein. And it's called the Sandra Bernstein Chronicles. Now, Sandra is a makeup artist who worked on a long-run soap opera. And the show closes and she has to go and find another job. And she finds a job as a makeup artist on location. And on location on the sunny island of Saint Martin. And again, still sticking to what you know. So I know the world of film. I know about being a makeup artist. But I didn't know about crime. And of course, I'd also picked a Dutch island. So it was Dutch crime as well. So the very first thing I did was research. I learnt very quickly that your readership are very discerning and they will pick you to pieces if you get anything wrong. So research was really, really important. So the first thing I did was my next door neighbour was a police officer here on the island. So I spent a day with her and I had loads of questions. And I found some Dutch terminology and then found out what happened when a dead body is found on the island, because they have to bring in the coroner from Curaçao, another island. We don't have one resident, but that was now, you know, you're talking about 8 years ago, I think. So things may have changed. But I am, so that's where I started. And then I have a very good friend, been my friend since I was about 13, and her husband was a murder squad detective. So all the other questions I had, I sat and questioned him, and that was brilliant. So, you know, I always have thought, that research before you even start writing. So that's what I did. I then decided to set the book on St. Martin, and that would give me an audience because I know the island, I know the people. Who doesn't want to read a book on holiday that's set in the Caribbean? And it's full of characters. And lots of the places and restaurants and things like that crop up. So lots of people that love the island like reading the book because they recognise all the places. So I came here and wrote the first novel book. And then I decided, okay, where am I going to set the second book? Well, the second one, I love Las Vegas. It's one of my, apart from St. Martin, it's one of my favourite places in the whole world. And so I decided to set the second book in St. Martin. Second book in Las Vegas. And I didn't, I've been there many, many times, but I didn't know what it was like behind the scenes. So I needed to get behind the scenes in a casino so that I kind of understood what the network was like and that I could write freely. So I put a call out to every casino in Vegas, and no one would let me go behind the scenes. And I thought, right, I don't like no. I'm not very good with no. So we have half a dozen Facebook pages with thousands of people on around the world that love St. Martin. And we kind of all know each other. Well, not that, I mean, there's one page with like 30,000 people. We don't all know each other, but we do know each other by name. It's funny. I went into a mall yesterday. Twice I got stopped. They said, "Don't I know you?" It just makes me smile. And then one of the work staff wanted a picture and an autograph. It was funny. It's lovely. It was so lovely. Anyway, I digress. So I popped on one of the St. Martin Facebook pages. Does anybody know any casino owners? And somebody straight away said to me, "Yes, I know Derek at the D in downtown Vegas." And I spoke to him. He gave me all access very quickly. And then I thought, oh my goodness, I've got all access in a casino. This sounds like a documentary. So the next thing I did was put together a production company. And we went off in 6 weeks. We went off to Vegas with a film crew, an actor, myself. The reason I took an actor was I really wanted to do this. So let me explain. When I'm writing, I need to understand and feel what I'm writing. I can't feel death, but apart from everything else in the book, I need to understand it to be able to write about it. And I wanted to, I did want to shoot a gun. That was one of the things I wanted to do. But I wasn't sure how the person was going to die in Vegas. So I decided I was going to go to Vegas, chat to people, try a few things out. But one of the things I wanted to do is to see if I could get a dead body out of the casino without getting caught. So I took an actor with me to see if I could do this. Anyway, no, that didn't work out because the hotel marketing team were there when we were filming in the room every time, and they were kind of listening and watching, so they would stop a question they didn't like, so I couldn't do this, you know, try and get somebody out of the casino. And they, of course, are very strong on security, and there are certain things they won't tell you. We made the documentary, and there is one part where I ask a question, and you see the guy's face as he looks over to the panel because they wouldn't let him answer. But I can't remember what that was. But it did give me a chance to go behind the scenes, which was fantastic, and it really helped. So the first book is Makeup to Murder. Second book is Vegas to Villainy, and I'm currently writing the third book, which is Fame to Felony. And that one is set in the UK on a little island east of England where there's only one road on and one road off. And it's tidal, so you can get stuck on the island. Well, there is actually a place exactly the same as this, and I've spent about 6 months and it's in a holiday park. So anybody, if you know the British holiday parks, they're static caravans, there's swimming pools and all different activities and guys walking around looking like a dinosaur or a duck or something like that, entertaining the kids. But this, the one that I'm writing about, has been taken over by a film company that have turned it into a location for 3 murder mystery movies. And so it all happens again on a film set. It was just before COVID. I sat down for 6 months, near enough 6 months, sitting in the entertainment centre most days, just watching and listening. And then COVID came and I just kind of didn't have the right headspace to finish it. So I am here in St Martin to finish this latest book. And as I said, it's all about research. So I've done all my research. And I tend to write outlines for each character, so they've all got backstory, and then I have to decide how, what, when, and things like that for the murder, because it's really important to me that you, as a reader, do not guess who did it, and that it's not till right at the end do you find out kind of who it was. So that's important, and it's important for me to get my red herrings in, and then. It's funny because I have to think of how to murder someone each time. And now I've got used to people say, what do you do? And I say, oh, my hobby's murder. And they kind of give you a funny look. But you have to have not just an imagination, but you have to have the tools as well. So I do talk to doctors, pharmacists, all different people that will give me an idea. So I kind of know that I want to poison somebody or I want to physically harm somebody or something like that. So that I normally know, and I always know why, because I need to be able to write the story. And then I need help to see if I can actually do it. So that's been great fun. I love the research. So living on a Caribbean island. I'm very lucky. I have lots of friends that I've made over the years. It's like one big family here. And the thing I like most being here, it's called the Friendly Island, and everybody is very friendly. You say good morning or good afternoon 100 times a day. It doesn't matter where you are, everybody says it before they kind of do anything else. But no one judges you, so it doesn't matter what size you are, colour you are, sexual orientation, nothing matters here, which is just so wonderful. And you're just liked for who you are rather than what you wear or what you got in the bank or what you look like or anything like that. It's just you, and that is just an incredible feeling to understand that. You know, most of us, doesn't matter where we live, grow up worrying about the way we look, what we've got, where we work, all those things. And here on this island, we don't worry about it at all. Nobody worries, you know. Anyway, so let me tell you a little bit about St. Martin. So St. Martin, which is the Dutch side, and St. Martin, which is the French side. So the island is 37 square miles. If I get anything wrong, somebody will tell me about it. And it is about 2/3 Dutch and 1/3 French. And there are no borders. So we just go down the road and you see a French flag and the roads change because the Dutch side is tax-free and duty-free. And so our roads aren't very good and they're better on the French side. The food here is just wonderful. We have a lot of mega yachts come in here. We have a big, big natural lagoon in the middle of the island. And so lots of mega yachts come in. It's funny because Abramovich's yacht has always been just outside, you know, for the winter, just outside where I live. But I think that was taken a couple of months ago. And his plane is often here. Travolta's plane comes in. Oh, loads. It's lots of people come here because we're a hub in the Caribbean. And they'll come here first before they go to St. Bart's, St. John's, wherever. And we have a lot of top chefs here. So we have the most amazing food. I like eating at what we call the Lolos, which is local restaurants where the local people are cooking. And so it's nice. We get both ends of, of the culinary experience. We have 37 beaches and they are all public beaches. There are no private beaches here. You have really, as a guest, a traveller, you have two choices. You're either up on a hill with a view or down by the beach. I'm on a hill with a view because I now live probably half and half on the island, half on the island, half in the UK. And it's getting more and more that I want to be here. And it's really funny because my whole focus has changed, really. And now it feels like St. Martin is my home. And as I flew in every time, literally as we land, my whole body kind of goes, I don't even know how to explain that in words. It just deflates. No, it's lovely. It's just like a calmness that comes over me and it just feels like I'm home. So that is just wonderful. For those in the UK, like myself, there are a few ways of getting here. You can't fly direct. So normally I fly Air France to Paris and then Paris here. That's my favourite route. This time I flew KLM and it wasn't so much fun. By mistake, I got to Heathrow 4.5 hours early and got through in half an hour. And then I had another 4 hour wait in Schiphol. So it was a very, very long journey. So if you're looking to come to St. Martin, I would check Air France. You can go through the US as well and have a layover. And you can come from Antigua. I will tell you a story. A few years ago now, probably 4 or 5 years ago, I decided to fly. The summer is the most expensive. It's quite reasonable between October and May. But I wanted to come in the summer and the cheapest route was for me to go to Antigua and then take something called we call LIAT. Now, LIAT is small jet planes, but I had booked Wynn Air thinking that Wynn Air and LIAT shared planes. So I get to Antigua. There was like a 7 hour wait over, which I knew layover. And just about, I think we were near enough the last people in the airport. And there was about five of us. That was it, which was a bit strange. Anyway, they showed us out onto the tarmac and I looked and there was two planes. One to the left was LIAT and that was a small jet plane, which I've been on many times. And then I looked to the right and it looked like a bathtub with a propeller. And yes, I was going on that, Wynn Air. So it felt like a warplane, something, and the noise. Anyway, so it was quite funny. They lifted the door up a little bit like a Tesla, you know, goes up. And you go up the stairs with your luggage, you take it in with you. And sit down and there's like a bar. It's like a wooden seat with a bar that goes over your lap. And I felt like Pinocchio. You know, Pinocchio has the conscience, the cricket, Jiminy Cricket, the conscience. And that's what I felt like. It felt like my conscience was going, get out now. And the other one's going, you're going to be fine. Get out now. And they was talking to each other. And suddenly, the door shut and I was stuck. And it was an experience. The noise is quite dramatic. And it was about 8 o'clock at night. So I didn't get to see the wonder of landing. Now, if you want to know more about the landing in St. Martin, go onto YouTube and just type in landing in St. Martin. So St. Martin is a MARTEN and it is one of the scariest landings in the world. And you land over the beach. So it must be very exciting in the day, but I couldn't see it. So, and lots of people hang on to the fence. I'm hoping to be blown away. And there's big signs that say, don't do it, you'll die. But they still do it. And that's called Airport Beach. So do have a look on YouTube to see. So now I spend at least 6 months a year here, and most of the time I'm doing something. So that could be finishing a book. I do a weekly radio show with Dr. Sock on Island 92. I love that. I go in there once a week, and we're a bit like brother and sister, and we just have a go at each other. I often take in British food. I think Near Enough is liked everything. The funniest thing was digestive biscuits, because we all know a digestive is just a sweet biscuit that you'll have a cup of tea, or you'll just sit and have a digestive. But because of the name, I'd never thought of the connotations, and so he thought it was some biscuit that was going to help his digestion, so that was quite funny. But no, most foods that I've taken, I did bangers and mash. I've just found some decent sausages on the French side, but sausages around the world are not like our British bangers. So, except there's one pub here. No, we've only got one pub, a bar called The Pub. And one night a week they do, I think it's Friday night, they do sausages, German sausages. Actually, they're very, very good. So let me think what else I need to tell you about living in St. Martin. I think do it. If anybody's got this want to go and move and be adventurous, I think it's really important in life to be a little bit adventurous, because life's so short. None of us know what's ahead. The wonderful thing, I was going to say the wonderful thing about Tigger, nothing to do with Tigger. The best thing is my friends here from all around the world, all nationalities, all types, all just so many different people. And it's fascinating to me to listen to people's religious beliefs, political beliefs, just beliefs in general, really. And obviously, as an author, I have to be a people person, a people watcher. And I think people have got very used to me now, because they know, they turn around and say, oh, that's going to end up in a book. I was working in England just before I came out, and I was actually in a factory, and somebody told me a story, and it was so funny. And they're going, you know, it's going to end up in a book. So I think sometimes people are a bit careful what they say in front of me. But I love people sharing stories. My neighbours upstairs, they're not here at the moment. During Olympics, the last Olympics in the UK, they wanted to come and see the Olympics, and I wanted to get away. And they had a parrot called Monty, which was actually a girl. So they asked me if I would come and stay at their place and look after Monty, which I did a couple of times. But I did it for a month during the Olympics. And Monty was so funny and just talked. And I would be in the pool, and you could hear, you'd think it was the wife, Debbie, that was talking and saying things like, do I look fat in this? And things like that. I've got nothing in my wardrobe. And it's Monty talking, and he would bark like a dog, and they haven't got a dog. So you'd think that there was a dog up there. So Monty did end up in one book. But I think, you know, as an author, you're always watching, learning, listening, and you know, that's how it ends up in a book, really. So this next book that I'm writing, I'm halfway through. I did my research, did all my planning, and now I'm on, I think, chapter 5. I normally have up to about 14, 15 chapters in my books, and we've decided now, so I didn't tell you the name of the documentary. So the documentary we sold all around the world to all different channels, and it went on Amazon Prime. And it's called Method of Murder. So it was me trying to find out ways of killing people and get rid of a body. So I'm in the moment, I am in the process of creating Method of Murder 2 at sea. So we're thinking of doing it on a cruise liner, if we can find one. So if anybody knows anybody in the cruise ship industry, do let me know, because I want to make a documentary on board. And I have, I'm hoping to do, to get in and have a go at some things. So if you want to see me shooting a gun, then go onto Amazon. It's on Apple. It's on lots of channels. If you just type in Method of Murder, Jackie Rom, it will come up. Or Google me, and then you can listen. I know you're listening to the podcast, but I also have a YouTube channel, Instagram, and even TikTok. So you can just Google me and find or watch. You can fall asleep to me talking to you. And if I love interviewing interesting people. I've got an amazing interview tomorrow, a Monday. I'm so looking forward to it. Can't tell you much. I will announce it very soon. It's somebody that had something happen to them that less than 1% of the whole world it happens to. And it is an amazing story. So I'm looking forward to that. But if you have an incredible story to tell, do let me know. And I love meeting ordinary people with extraordinary jobs. So let me know if you'd like to be interviewed. Happy to be interviewed. As you can hear, I've just spoke for nearly 26 minutes. I don't mind talking. So my name's Jackie Rom. This is Life of a Crime Novelist. And thank you so much for listening to this episode, and go and now check the others. There's lots of episodes to listen to.